Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me, just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him. Today I'm sharing a message on what it means to be a sheep of Jesus. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 14 to 16, I'm reading. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 14, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Verse 16, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Paul's life is the right pattern for anyone who wants to go from a sinner to a saint. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of which Paul was the worst one. If Paul was the worst, then whatsoever worked for Paul should work for anyone else. Paul was not saved without getting on the narrow way and finishing his race. Paul had to look honestly at the bad fruit in his life and admit that he was sinning against God and deserved hell. Jesus described Paul's religious leaders. We read in John chapter 9, verses 39 to 41. This is John's Gospel, chapter 9. I'm starting in verse 39. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." Verse 40, "And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also?" Verse 41, "Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, ye would have no sin. But now we say we see, therefore your sin remains." Those who are leading should have eyes to see, but the Pharisees had become blind. When challenged on the road to Damascus, Paul came to repentance and accepted Jesus as the Lord of his life. The first face he saw was Ananias after he saw Jesus, and nothing in between. Jesus was speaking to Ananias in Acts chapter 9, verses 15 to 18. This is Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 15. "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel." Verse 16. "And I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Verse 17, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou came, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Verse 18, "And immediately there fell from his eyes as it were scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized." Paul became a disciple in order to be saved. He only had Ananias as an example. Those who get converted today also see comfortable Christians in the church and lose their faith in God. This happens especially when those leading the church are not good examples. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. This is 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm reading verse 2. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not by filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but be examples to the flock. Those in leadership must remain uncontaminated by the things of the world, by living on the narrow way. Jesus is the shepherd, and if the ones leading are not following Jesus, those in the congregation will be confused. Through the forgiveness of sin, anyone can now repent and come into the presence of God by grace through faith instantly. But a complete change of lifestyle is required. Paul said in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. This is Titus chapter 2. I'm reading verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The religious leaders in Jesus' day were blinded by their own self-righteousness. Also born again, evangelical churches are deceiving themselves that they can be Lord of their lives and still rule and reign with Christ. Many believe lies that if you keep God happy on Sunday, they can do what they want the rest of the week. Even in big conferences, people call Jesus Lord and still behave like the world. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I'm reading. This is Romans chapter 12. I'm reading verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Christianity is not just another religion. It's a relationship with a living God. You need to use the grace of God to hear his voice now and complete your salvation by doing the perfect will of God. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I'm reading verses 1 to 5. This is John's Gospel. Chapter 10, I'm reading verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Verse 2. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verse 4. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. The word sheep in Strong's is number 4263. It is properly a derivative of another word meaning something that walks forward on four legs, specifically a sheep, literally or figuratively a sheep. From a distance, when the sun is shining on green pastures, sheep may look nice, but they are basically a domesticated ruminant mammal with a thick woolly coat, and the males can have curving horns. Sheep are kept in flocks for its wool or meat, and proverbial for a tendency to follow others foolishly. They are usually smelly, dirty, get themselves trapped, need washing and purging from parasites too. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. This is in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. I'm reading verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and thy seed may live. Verse 20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. These two verses were given to the Jews specifically, but everyone needs to hear his voice and obey. Paul was a Jew, but at his baptism he stopped fighting conviction and became a sheep of Jesus by making Jesus his shepherd and Lord of his life. If you are not a sheep of Jesus, you are a sheep of the devil, deceiving yourself with your own dead works. Even if you're not religious, you're basically doing what others do who are following the devil, who is the god of this world. You cannot become a sheep of Jesus if you are still a sheep of something else. Paul stopped following the traditions of the Pharisees and had his own personal relationship with God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 to 10, I'm reading. This is Philippians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10. That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul realized he could not get to know God through a religious knowledge of the scriptures. He also discovered that you cannot serve God and mammon. Paul did not have doubts or a fear of failure every time he lost something in this world following Christ. Paul was ready to lose everything to win or get to know Christ. Did you also count the cost of your relationship with Christ at salvation? In the book The Guilted Prison, revised edition, in chapter 2 on pages 20 and 21, Joseph Hitchcock writes, "You accepted his forgiveness and asked Jesus to come into your heart. You decided to follow Christ, which means you yielded to Jesus Christ as your Lord at that moment. The simple act of confessing your sin, asking Jesus to come into your heart, and receiving God's forgiveness made you a child of God. This doctrine is taught in all evangelical churches. You were then baptized to show others you received Jesus' atonement. Baptism is the symbol that declares your old nature is dead and you are yielded to Christ." In the autobiography of Charles Finney, on pages 159 to 161, we read from Charles' own journals. "I always insisted much in my instructions upon entire consecration to God, giving up all to him, body, soul, possessions, to be forever after used for his glory as a condition of acceptance with God. Sinners were not encouraged to expect the Holy Spirit to convert them while they were passive and never told to wait God's time, but were taught unequivocally that their first and immediate duty was to submit themselves to God, to renounce their own will, their own way, and themselves, and to instantly deliver up all that they were and all that they had to their rightful owner, the Lord Jesus Christ. They were taught that the only obstacle in their way was their own stubborn will, that God was trying to gain their unqualified consent to give up their sins, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their righteousness and salvation. The point was frequently urged upon them to give their consent, and they were told that the only difficulty was to get their own honest and earnest consent to the terms upon which Christ would save them, and the lowest terms upon which they could possibly be saved. The sermons of Charles Finney were more like a lawyer's discourse than a sermon. This gave his listeners an awareness of their spiritual condition and helped them realize that by making the decisions themselves with their own minds, they were close to destruction. The only solution Finney offered was to consent to the minimum terms of Jesus for their salvation and understand that righteousness is dependent on making him Lord and following Christ as a disciple on the narrow way. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 21, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." Those on the broad way teach that you can be Lord of your own life, call Jesus Lord, and by prayer receive him as your Savior. Jesus is Lord, and there is no grace for you to still be Lord of your own life. Paul explained what happened at salvation. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14. This is Colossians chapter 1, I'm reading verse 9. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Verse 10, "that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Verse 11, "strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Verse 12, "giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Verse 13, "who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Verse 14, "in whom we have the redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." You were put in the kingdom of his dear Son, so that you could live there by obeying him. Those who are abiding in Christ are increasing in the knowledge that God wants them to have through conviction. This knowledge does not compare to studying doctrines taught in Bible school. Paul was praying for the Colossians to have a knowledge of God's perfect will first, and from obedience get godly wisdom through humility and brokenness. The comfortable Colossians were rebellious and did not want to hear that God's grace was for them to live on the narrow way, trusting God. Paul's assistant was also praying. We read in Colossians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. This is Colossians chapter 4. I'm reading verse 12. "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." Verse 13, "for I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis." It is possible that because of these prayers, the church of Laodicea, the Colossians, had another chance to repent. We read in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. This is Revelation chapter 3, and reading verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning and the creation of God. Verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would that you would be cold or hot. Verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. If you're walking in the flesh, you are cold. If you're walking in the Spirit, you are hot. To stay in Christ, you have to walk in the Spirit, yielded to Christ, right up to the end of your life. His true sheep are very different and easily separated from the sheep of the world. Those who are of this world listen to conspiracy theories and social media and have little or no time for God's rightly revealed word. They like the written word and rely on natural discernment and wisdom instead. Those on the broad way are unwilling to endure correction or patient enough to hear the truth. They want direction without correction. In the Message Bible, John 10, verses 1 to 5, Jesus said, Let me say this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen, instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good, a sheep rustler. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he gets them all out, he leads them, and they follow because they are familiar with his voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. Those who try to enter the kingdom of God using a prayer or works of any kind are deceiving themselves and others. Those who enter through the straight gate enter easily. There's no struggle. This is the same door used by other saints like Paul on the narrow way following Jesus. Paul had no confidence in the flesh because he was following a way that seems right before. We read in Proverbs chapter 14, verses 12 and 13. This is Proverbs chapter 14. I'm reading verse 12. There is a way which seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 13. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The Holy Spirit will not open the door for those who have not made Jesus Lord. The sheep of Jesus will listen to somebody talk about the Lord because they see you are following Christ, even if you're not educated by this world's standards. Sheep hear the voice of Jesus clearly and have no doubts because they rely on the Spirit to confirm everything. Many charismatic leaders have been recorded saying God has given you a brain and he expects you to use it. But this is not the truth. Those who accept lies do so because they want an easy option for their flesh and have not made Jesus Lord of all. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 31 and 32. I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. I'm reading verse 31. And another parable he put forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Verse 32. Which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it's grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Jesus warned us that the world would find comfort around those living in the kingdom of God. However, beware you do not become like the world. If you've accumulated goods and are comfortable in this world, using the wisdom of the world, repent. Jesus said to the Colossians in Laodicea, in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. I'm reading the book of Revelation, chapter 3, and verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and know not that thou art wicked and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salver, that they may see. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. If you are not following Christ, you are wretched, miserable, blind, poor, and naked. If you are comfortable now, you will cry later. Get on the narrow way before it's too late. Suffering for not compromising on sin and being led by the Spirit is a confirmation that you're on the narrow way. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 to 13. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. I'm starting in verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Verse 13. And ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. In these last days, before the final judgment, everyone will reap what they have sown quickly, so that they can come to their senses and repent of being sheep of the devil before it's too late. Those in the church who are lukewarm are about to be spewed out of his mouth. The world is not going to listen to hypocrites anymore. For the sake of those perishing, God has used blind leaders in the church to speak his written word. However, if you're lukewarm now, he will not use you as a mouthpiece anymore. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. The carnal nature needs to be kept in the grave, and those who belong to Christ do not take matters into their own hands. Paul was speaking about Jesus in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm reading verse 4. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Christ submitted himself to God and trusted in his resurrection power to overcome. Do not go back to using natural wisdom when things get uncomfortable for your flesh. Do not compare yourself with those who are comfortable in this world. You can start in the spirit but end up in the flesh otherwise. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, I'm reading. This is Galatians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? Those just born again have been told incorrectly that it's okay to do what you want when you want. However, making decisions with your mind is spiritual adultery. Jesus is Lord now. James said it in James chapter 4 and verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Either God is your friend, or the world is your friend, but not both. If you do not get to know Jesus after you are born again, you are still walking in the flesh. You cannot have Jesus as your friend and keep doing what you want. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 14, You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Jesus continued speaking to the Jewish leaders who did not understand the teaching on being one of his sheep. We read in John chapter 10, verses 6 to 11. This is John chapter 10. I'm reading verse 6. This parable spoke Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. Verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 8. And all that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Verse 9. I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The sheep of Jesus believe and know that Jesus came to give life, and are not getting in the flesh in order to do something for themselves. Those who are on the narrow way are complete in Christ. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. This is Colossians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. He is Lord of all and above all authority, so he can make whatever changes are needed. God is not the one who makes you sad in this world. Pride is what makes you sad, because it makes you do things that are outside the will of God. Pride is the root of all sin. This is why your sin separates you from his presence. Disconnect yourself from pride by humbling yourself. There are only two rules in the kingdom. Number one, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, do it. Number two, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you not to do, do not do it. Carnal Christians want blessings, but they don't want circumcision in Christ by the Spirit. You need to be ready to lose everything to follow Christ, because what you hold on to will stop you obeying him. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 26, But you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. In the Amplified Bible, John 10:26 says, But you do not believe me, so you do not trust and follow me, because you are not my sheep. According to the Amplified Bible, the definition of believe means, number one, trusting God with all your heart for everything you need. Number two, following his example in living and, if necessary, in dying also. Solomon talked about trusting God. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 12. I'm reading. This is Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, and fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Verse 9. Honour the Lord with thy substance, and with the firstfruits of all thine increase. Verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Verse 12. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. According to Solomon, those trusting God, number one, do not lean to their own understanding. Number two, in all areas, ask, check, or confirm with God first. Number three, have a regular testimony of God directing their paths. Number four, are not wise in their own eyes and have no confidence in the flesh. Number five, fear the Lord and do not intentionally offend God. number 6, can rescue themselves from evil and overcome sin. Number 7, keep themselves healthy by not serving evil through fear. Number 8, honor the Lord with a percentage of their income and never accept any income gained from lies, deception, or any immoral activities. Number 9, can endure the chastening of the Lord. And number 10, love God and grow up spiritually by pleasing Him. Those who trust and follow do not waste time trying to understand the things of God with their natural mind. We read in the book of Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 13. This is in the book of Isaiah 55 and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returns not again, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherewith I sent it. Verse 12. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Verse 13. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. On the narrow way, you start with the joy of your salvation and are led forth with peace. Maintain your joy by obeying God in the small things and monitor your peace. God's ways are higher and go beyond your understanding, so you have to rely on the peace and joy and not on what you know. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4, I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, I'm reading verse 3, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Joy comes from abiding in the kingdom of God and does not leave you even in a time of testing. We read in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. This is Nehemiah chapter 8. I'm reading verse 10. Then he said unto them, Go your way and eat the fat and drink the sweet and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The word strength is number 4581. It comes from another word which means a fortified place, figuratively a defense, a fortress, a rock, strength, a stronghold. The joy of the Lord is essential for those who are on the narrow way. The joy of the Lord is not a joy the world can give or take away. This joy increases when greater difficulties occur. As you obey the Holy Spirit out of love, you become a more pleasing sacrifice. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. This is Ephesians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us as an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. You are more pleasing to God keeping his commandments under challenging circumstances while denying yourself daily. His joy sustains and strengthens you. There is no greater pleasure than being used by the Lord. David said in Psalms 16 and verse 11. This is the Psalms, chapter 16, and reading verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Do not assume you are righteous. If you're in right standing with God, then you have fullness of joy. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 14 to 17. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, I'm reading verse 14. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but thy disciples fast not? Verse 15. And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then they shall fast. Verse 16. No man puts a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Verse 17. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runs out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. Since the kingdom of God is here now by the Spirit, there is no reason to mourn or fast unless directed by the Holy Spirit. Food or the lack of food is not important. Paul said in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You should always monitor your joy level. Your joy should be full so that you can worship God at any time or place. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. The ability to rejoice in all situations is also the foundation of the peace that you need on the narrow way. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 to 8, I'm reading. This is Philippians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Verse 5, Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Verse 6, Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7, And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Your life should be changing from a dependency on self to a life full of thanksgiving. You will see through many prayers God's plan coming together each day by listening and obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit. Situations will go beyond your understanding frequently. You maintain your peace in the kingdom of God by not thinking about your circumstances. You will need to keep a list of things to think about when following Christ. We read in John 14, verses 5 and 6. I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 14, starting in verse 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Verse 6. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can only know the way by knowing Jesus personally and getting in the game, not by trying to work it out with your mind. If you do not stay on the narrow way, you'll be drawn away by the lust of your flesh onto a way that seems right. You can only get to know the Father and Jesus by relying on His grace. He provides perfect solutions by faith, not using just natural wisdom. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, I'm reading. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. The word lost in Strong's is number 622. This comes from some other words which means to destroy. It means to perish or lose, literally or figuratively, to destroy, die, lose, mar, or perish. Those using their natural minds will end up being lost, confused, and full of fear, and deceive themselves if they refuse to walk by faith. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. In the Amplified Bible, 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, for we walk by faith, we regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk, not by sight or appearance. The Holy Spirit regulates your life on the narrow way, and you just follow his orders and get corrected as you go. James said in James chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. This is James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. In the kingdom of God, you have to learn to be under authority. You have to endure and like it. In the army, you are swift to hear and slow to speak. If you are walking by faith, you conduct yourself like a soldier of Jesus Christ. We read in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 13. I'm reading. This is Matthew chapter 8. I'm reading verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, verse 6, and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home, and sick of the palsy, grievously tormented, verse 7. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Verse 9, for I am a man under authority, and having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another man, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. Verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Verse 11, and I said unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 12, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 13, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be done unto you. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. The healing of the servant with palsy took place without Jesus ever coming to the house of the centurion soldier. The centurion knew everything is authorized through commands. He believed Jesus had authority to give the word based on the fact that he was not anything like the Pharisees. The centurion did not need a special visit or a nice-sounding prayer like some comfortable churches today. The centurion by faith could appreciate the kingdom of God through being a soldier in the Roman army. We read in Matthew 11, verses 2 to 6, I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, starting in verse 2. Now when Jesus had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, verse 3, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Verse 5. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Verse 6. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. You may be offended at Jesus because he allows things you know he could prevent in his power. By looking at the cross, you will get a vision of the kingdom of God. Those who have a correct vision have no doubts and have entered the kingdom of God already by denying self daily and taking up their cross daily. Paul said in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12, I'm reading. This is Romans chapter 13, I'm reading verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake up out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Verse 12. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The evangelist today has to shout in church because the people are living in darkness, using their minds, trying to understand the things of God. You need the armor of light in these last days, which is only available on the narrow way. People will see you have answers because you have put on Christ. The corruption started early in the church. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, we're reading. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. On the narrow way, you have to be strong in the grace. God gives grace to the humble, and those who've made him Lord are humble and rely on his grace. Godly leaders should be an example to others, following Christ on the narrow way. Timothy was a young man, and he was behind, and he had to get in soldier mode and endure himself. He was told not to waste time teaching people who had already proved unfaithful with the teaching they had received. Also, he was not to get involved in the earthly affairs of anyone else. The ministry, according to Paul, looked more like a military training ground for those who were serious. For more information on becoming a soldier of Jesus Christ, please read chapter 14 of the book, The Gilded Prison, revised edition by Joseph Hedgecock. A church on the Broadway, once a nice church with songs, pastoral visits, and no correction. Most congregations want a pastor they can control or advise. Comfortable churches do not want to experience any conviction or grow up spiritually. The church in Corinth was focusing on the gifts of the Spirit, not the fruit of the Spirit. Paul called the leaders instructors, not teachers, because they showed no signs of overcoming sin. He had to send Timothy to help them out. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 15 to 17. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm starting in verse 15. For though we have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Verse 16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Verse 17, for this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. In the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 4:17 says, For this very cause I sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and trustworthy child in the Lord, who will recall to your minds my methods of proceeding and the course of conduct and way of life in Christ, such as I teach everywhere in each of the churches. You grow through repentance, so spiritual learning starts with conviction. An abundance of godly wisdom is given to those who make no excuses for obeying the truth. Timothy was instructed to share Paul's experiences of how he was able to stay humble and use the wisdom of God to overcome without ever getting in the flesh on the narrow way. The Corinthians were quite happy to use their own minds and saw Paul's lifestyle of pressure on the narrow way as unnecessary. Paul also said in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, this is Galatians chapter 3 and reading verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Christ was committed to the mission God gave him to die according to the scriptures and did not compromise his righteousness or trade with the devil. You need to obey the truth and take thoughts captive. If you are looking for an excuse for not obeying the truth, when you come under pressure, the devil will give you one by appealing to your flesh if it's still alive. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. This is Hebrews chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. The devil is not omnipresent, but there is enough corruption everywhere in this world, so you have to be steadfast. That corruption is still in you if you have not repented of dead works. The devil is the god of this world, but the kingdom of God is here now as well. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, and verse 1. This is Galatians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Every child of God has to get on the narrow way, or he will become a castaway. You cannot just use what the world offers or do anything without asking God. You will get entangled again using your mind, even if you are born again. By asking God everything, you are standing fast in your liberty. By obeying the Spirit, you cannot obey the flesh. Paul said in Galatians 5 and verse 16, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do not listen to the world, but also do not listen to your own emotions and feelings too. Let joy and peace rule instead. You may have a desire in your mind to do the right thing, but the flesh will deceive you. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. This is Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The flesh will listen to other voices, arguments, and debates, so you must deny yourself daily. The Holy Spirit will not justify your own beliefs seeking something for yourself. Jesus' own disciples were using their minds and made records of their mistakes in the Gospels so that everyone could learn from them. Those disciples did not realize that Judas was the betrayer until it was too late. Jesus said in Matthew 26 and verse 41, I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26 and verse 41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The Romans came to take Jesus with the help of Judas Iscariot, but he told the disciples he was coming back. The disciples were following Jesus with the idea that Jesus was going to kick out the Romans as the promised Messiah, and they would rule with him. What a mess that would have been. When Jesus was arrested, they were all scattered. Those disciples did not really understand or count the cost of being part of the greatest kingdom, the kingdom of God. Do not switch off when someone talks about killing the flesh, and only listen to nice messages that talk about more blessings. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. This is Ephesians chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. By grace, through faith, everyone can learn from their mistakes and grow spiritually. Salvation does not mean a long life doing what you want, but doing what he has ordained for your life instead. Many have ignored the need to become a new creation through repentance and conviction and just saw salvation as an insurance policy against hell. C.S. Lewis said, a world of nice people, content in their own niceness, looking no further, turned away from God, would be just as desperately in need of salvation as a miserable world, and might be even more difficult to save. Arthur Pink wrote this, the nature of Christ's salvation is woefully misrepresented by the present-day evangelist. He announces a savior from hell rather than a savior from sin. And that is why so many are fatally deceived, for they are multitudes who wish to escape the lake of fire, who have no desire to be delivered from their carnality and worldliness. Leonard Ravenhill said, we don't preach salvation, we preach forgiveness. Paul also spoke about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. This is Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Eternal salvation came so that we could obey God again and be part of his kingdom, not just go to heaven without being changed. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 and 27. This is Hebrews chapter 10. I'm reading verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifices for sins. Verse 27. But a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. It is possible to be directed by God and get it right the first time and never sin. Jesus obeyed perfectly and did not make mistakes, but he still suffered. Suffering is part of obedience. Suffering for righteousness' sake is a confirmation that you're on the narrow way in this world of sin. It's not a sign of failure. The suffering that comes from unrighteousness is not the same. But if you confess your sins, God can use the wrong kind of suffering to help you grow spiritually because his grace is sufficient. He can also take away the consequences of sin if he wants. You need to lose the fear of suffering, as this is a snare. We read in Matthew 16, verses 21 to 23. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Verse 23. But he returned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. When Peter tried to follow Christ in the flesh, and through the fear of suffering, he fell into a trap, denying the Lord three times. Jesus told all of them to just watch and pray, but they fell asleep. We read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, I'm reading verses 14 to verse 20. This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, starting in verse 14. Afterwards he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Verse 15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. Verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In thy name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. Verse 18. And they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. Verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. The word upbraided in Strong's is number 3679. It comes from another word which means to defame, that is to rail at, to chide, to taunt, to suffer some reproach, to revile or to upbraid. Those disciples got a telling off before they were commissioned, because they did not listen and went back to fishing. They were excusing their disobedience and unbelief, and their hearts became hard. The Jewish leaders knew their names, as Judas Iscariot had betrayed them all. The situation may have looked hopeless, but others had also told them that Christ was risen. Jesus told those disciples how to pray. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13, we read, This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Here are some points that come from this teaching on prayer. Number one, you were supposed to have no other provider apart from him. He is your Father in heaven, and the source of all wisdom and knowledge. You are not to consult your own knowledge of what is right and wrong. Jesus is also your mentor. Number two, his name was to be hallowed. Your priority was to maintain the connection to God you received by grace through faith. Keep the sin out and keep away from anything that might offend God. Number three, Jesus will come again, but the kingdom of God is here now by the Spirit. If you're using your mind to make decisions, you are deceiving yourself. Those who are still consulting their minds for daily needs will face the judgment, and if he comes, they will not be part of Christ's kingdom. Number four, everyone on earth should be like the angels, going to the throne of God and asking what he wants done frequently, not just 5 minutes at the beginning or end of the day. Five, you are not to buy what you want or desire, but acknowledge God what he wants you to eat or not eat. Or you may poison yourself. You need to hear from God and learn. either keep your mind still and hear or go hungry. Going without is a common way of disciplining a child that misbehaves. Most in the body of Christ, however, will not admit that they are still babies secretly doing what they want, serving the flesh. 6. God cannot forgive you if you are still offended at what someone else did to you or failed to do what they said they would do. Either way, you could end up in hell if your sins are not forgiven. Some of the most insensitive or hard-hearted people in this life are those trapped, waiting for others to change first. 7. You can only pray, "Lead us not into temptation," if you have no confidence in the flesh. Most rely on human wisdom and discernment for detecting the devil's trap, and as a result, end up on a way that seems right instead. 8. Those who believe the kingdom is here now and all authority belongs to Jesus are abiding in Christ even during troubled times. Those who do not believe get in the flesh to satisfy their physical and emotional needs. Before the cross, the disciples were deceiving themselves, following Christ based on some vain glory and fortune. They had listened to another voice that did not involve any suffering or the need to enter the kingdom of God themselves. Those who want to bring glory to God are on the narrow way and keep listening to the shepherd. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 26, I'm reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 9 and verse 26, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels." You cannot become a sheep of Jesus until you have become spiritually domesticated by the Good Shepherd. You have to learn how to serve and become like a little child. Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus in John's Gospel, chapter 3. I'm reading verses 5 to 8. This is John's Gospel, chapter 3, starting in verse 5. And Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Verse 6. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Verse 7. "Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again." Verse 8. "The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." To the world, those who behave like sheep, following the chastening and prompting of the Holy Spirit, appear foolish. However, Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, this is Romans chapter 8, I'm reading verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." You are supposed to hear the voice of Jesus through the Holy Spirit now. Those who are his sheep know and hear the truth and do not replace Jesus' teaching with another set of rules based on the written word. The large congregation in Corinth had become divided following personal interpretations and methods rather than learning by conviction from the pressures Paul experienced living on the narrow way. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 to 16. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm reading verse 10. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together, in the same mind, in the same judgment." Verse 11, "For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chole, that there are contentions among you." Verse 12. "Now this I say then, that every one of you says, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ." Verse 13. "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Verse 14, "I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius." Verse 15, "Lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name." verse 16, and I baptize also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. Carnal Christians listen to messages that are easy on their flesh, and this is what causes division. Paul could only baptize two people in the congregation and one other family in Corinth. Baptism is a funeral service for the flesh. The rest were not ready for baptism and still babes in Christ. It's possible some leaders who Paul called instructors were causing division by offering baptism. Paul's priority was to get people following Christ first. He gave gospel messages for those who want to deny themselves and through the cross keep the devil out of their lives. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 to 21. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm reading verse 17. For Christ has sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Jesus got his resurrection power from God by submitting to the Father's plan and denying self daily. Today, church leaders are trained to offer a special prayer of deliverance or more power to those who really need to repent of their own lordship. Demons are driven out in charismatic churches in a manner that includes a lot of shouting. People remain ignorant of how the devil got access. Also, the same demonic manifestations come back again in the same people who do not repent. People get confused and remain ignorant of the devil's devices. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28. This is John chapter 10. I'm reading verse 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. In the book, The Guilty Prison, Revised Edition, at the end of chapter 11, on How Do You Escape, on page 99, Joseph Hedgecott writes, walking in the Spirit neutralizes Satan's traps and delivers you from the prisons of your flesh. Only those who consistently walk in the Spirit overcome sin and the devil. You grow spiritually by hearing and obeying God in the Holy Spirit with different levels of pressure. The flesh will always be uncomfortable and nervous on the narrow way, especially at the beginning. If you don't like listening to the flesh complaining, then you can kill the flesh. If you do not kill it, then the devil will try and make you comfortable in this world, and you become his prisoner again. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 to 19. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, I'm reading verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Verse 19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. God's solutions involve obeying the Spirit, and this can include some suffering. You will lose something of temporal value for following Christ. The devil will tempt you to trade something of eternal glory for something temporal. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 to 17. This is Hebrews chapter 12, I'm starting in verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled. Verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Verse 17. For ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Your life can end in tears too, if you are holding on to something in this world. Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 25. I'm reading. This is Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25. What is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? The devil is not the problem. The worldwide pandemic is not the problem. God is not the problem. The real problem is the flesh. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, I'm reading. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God provides a solution or a way of escape, but you will have to bear something that will be uncomfortable for your flesh. And it's for this reason you do not want to listen to the solution God provides now. This article was recorded in the magazine Psychology Today. A storm descends on a small town and the downpour soon turns into a flood. As the waters rise, the local preacher kneels in prayer on the church porch, surrounded by water. By and by, one of the townsfolk comes up to the street in a canoe. Better get in, preacher, the waters are rising fast. No, says the preacher, I have faith in the Lord, he will save me. Still the waters rise. Now the preacher is up on the balcony, wringing his hands in supplication, when another guy zips up in a motorboat. Come on, preacher, we need to get you out of here. The levee's going to break any minute. Once again, the preacher is unmoved. I shall remain. The Lord will see me through. After a while, the levee breaks and the flood rushes over the church until only the steeple remains above water. The preacher is up there clinging to the cross when a helicopter descends out of the clouds and a state trooper calls down to him through a megaphone. Grab the ladder, preacher. This is your last chance. Once again, the preacher insists the Lord will deliver him. And predictably, he drowns. A pious man, the preacher, goes to heaven, and after a while he gets an interview with God, and he asks the Almighty, Lord, I had an unwavering faith in you. Why didn't you deliver me from that flood? God shakes his head. What did you want from me? I sent you two boats and a helicopter. You may be slowly drowning on the roof of your own man-made world, waiting for God to restore your comfortable Christian lifestyle, where your feelings and emotions are unaffected. You reject what God provides because you are not willing to live in the kingdom of God now and rely on joy and peace instead. God loves you, and he will not help you to go back to a comfortable religious life that will make you a prisoner of the devil in these last days, ending in hell if you keep deceiving yourself. For more information, please read chapter 7 on signs you are a prisoner in the book The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. If you're not asking the Lord what to do, where to go, and when, then you will be deceived. Jesus told those disciples to watch and pray between the time of the cross and the coming of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here now by the Spirit. And Jesus said to the disciples in John 16 and verse 13, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you the things to come." We have better equipment because we have in us the Holy Spirit. But if you choose to be your own Lord, then you will serve sin again. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 to 18. I'm reading 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 14. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Verse 15. "And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." Verse 16. "As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction." Verse 17. "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Verse 18. "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever." Paul was given wisdom because he was living on the narrow way. The fruit of that wisdom was that he was still growing in grace, even in the midst of great difficulties. God did not remove the devil after Jesus died, because his kingdom is here now. Those who are comfortable now will be left behind, because their treasure is here. Wake up. You may lose everything, and possibly your own lives too, to overcome the devil in the tribulation. We read in the book of Revelation chapter 12, 10 to 12. I'm reading Revelation chapter 12, starting in verse 10. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Verse 11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Verse 12. "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having a great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time." The current crisis is the devil's doing, but God wants a bride without spot and wrinkle, who ask God everything and live with childlike faith, not consulting their minds. Carnal Christians are confused, fearful, and want the church to go back to the way it was before the current crisis. God has a plan for those who do not listen to conspiracy theories and listen to his voice and get on the narrow way. Save yourself. The devil is about to meet his end. Paul went from being a sheep following a religious organization to being a sheep of Jesus. The kingdom of God is here now, but you have to enter by humbling yourself like a little child. Many will be left behind as it's appearing, because they are not abiding in Christ. Enter now before it's too late. To become a sheep of Jesus, you have to accept Jesus as your shepherd. The sheepfold is the kingdom of God now, that you can enter through Christ. You will not find lasting peace and unending joy anywhere else. Do not let the devil offer you an alternative based on worldly comforts. Paul had to write to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8, I'm reading to verse 14. This is 1 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 8. Now you are full. Now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God that you did reign, that we also might reign with you. Verse 9. For I think that God had set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. So we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels and to men. Verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong, and you are honourable, but we are despised. Verse 11. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. Verse 12. And labour, working with our own hands, being reviled we bless, being persecuted we suffer it. Verse 13. Being defamed we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Verse 14. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. A Christian is somebody who hears God's voice, has a personal relationship with Christ, and follows him on a daily basis. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. This is Acts chapter 11. I'm reading verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Verse 26. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Barnabas went seeking Paul in Tarsus to do the teaching, because Paul denied himself daily. And Barnabas saw the grace working in Paul's life. When he found Paul, he brought him to Antioch. Paul was qualified because he could rejoice even when things were uncomfortable for his flesh. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading verses 12 to 14. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who has quickened all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The good confession, according to Paul, was being able to act and not react. Paul had the right fruit, that he was following Christ and had overcome a lot of tribulation using the gift of eternal life. The Christians were first called Christians because, number one, they were Christ-like under pressure and could give the good confession. Number two, they had the fruits of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit. Number three, they heard Christ, not listening to a wrong voice or a spirit of fear. Number four, they got to know Christ on the narrow way, using the gift of eternal life and the Holy Spirit. Number five, they followed Christ, denying self daily and taking up their cross daily. The only reason you may not have reached the level of maturity where you should be right now is because you are still a sheep listening to your own reasoning, emotions, and feelings instead of being a sheep of Jesus. Only those living on the narrow way, following Christ, are qualified to teach in the Church of Jesus Christ. Bible school is the enemy of spiritual learning. Bible school allows people with a formal education and no lasting fruit to teach, because they have not crucified their old nature. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 19. This is Matthew chapter 7, I'm reading verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Verse 17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. Verse 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 19. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. If you cannot rejoice always, then you are in the flesh and disconnected from God. God's ways are not man's ways. If you keep using your mind to make decisions, you'll end up on a way that seems right and look like you've been baptized in lemon juice. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious works, so you do not have to deny yourself daily and trust God. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been speaking about being a sheep of Jesus. As a child of God, you have the possibility now to hear his voice. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." What a wonderful privilege you have to live a life with him in control. This is the best part of salvation, that he can be your Lord, that he can be your master, that he knows the right paths. He knows all the tricks of the enemy. He knows all the traps and the things that will bring misery to your life. He has promised you to have life and have it more abundantly. But that depends on you. It depends on your faith. And you have to believe with all your heart. You have to believe that he loves you. You have to believe and trust him like a little child. It's not enough just to say, "I believe." You have to decide to follow him. It's a declaration of faith. It's a lifestyle of trusting God right up to the end. You never stop trusting God. You keep listening to his voice. And you have a wonderful privilege because you have the Holy Spirit in you if you're born again. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, I'm praying for everyone who's listened to this message, that Father, you have challenged them, that they are not on that narrow way, that they have chosen a comfortable option. And now they have a chance to respond to this message. Wake up and realize that they are serving another master, another voice, and that they have the possibility right now to turn to you, to humble themselves, and to listen to the right voice and make you Lord completely in Jesus' name. God bless you. If you've listened to this message and you've enjoyed the teaching, there is a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via link to our website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. It would be great to hear from you. God bless you and thank you for listening. Amen.